Welcome. Hello. You're listening to Confetti, the Wedding Planning Business Talk Show. My name is Debbie. Thank you so much for joining me. Today is Tuesday, February 21st, 2012, and I'm speaking to you from the Washington, D.C. metro area to bring you information and answers to your questions about operating a successful wedding planning company of your very own. If you or someone you love is passionate about planning weddings, then please check out the free online resource, weddingsforaliving.com, and there you'll find ideas and inspiration about launching a wedding planning business. That's also the place where you can listen to and download archived episodes of this talk show. If you need a little bit more hand-holding as you start your wedding planning business journey, then you should definitely check out my other site, weddingbusinessguide.com, and there you'll find some more advanced tutorials, downloadable forms, and access to live teleseminars and webinars just for wedding planners. Today's show is completely interactive, as each show always is, and what I mean by that is if you have a question or a comment, please feel free to participate, and you can do that by either calling in live on the telephone, and the number to call is area code 626-213-5678. I'll say that again. It's 626-213-5678. And if you have, you can listen to the show via the telephone. And then if you have a question or you want to say something live, then just press the number 1, and that will let me know that you have something to share with the rest of us. You can also share your questions and your comments in the online chat room, and I can see a few of you there. Good evening. In order to participate in the Confetti chat room, you do need to register on Blog Talk Radio, BTR, as a listener, and that's the way that they deter, you know, the robots from getting in and doing all kinds of crazy things. So to register for your listener account, just click on the sign up button at the top of the Confetti show page. And that's also the place, I believe, that there's a Skype button. So if you want to join in via telephone and the number that I just provided to you isn't local, then Skype is another way to be a part of this, okay? Please check your emails. That's usually the way that I communicate, but I will be honest, I didn't do that today, and I'll explain why in just a moment. If you're not checking your email, then please follow me on Twitter, and you can find me at debbietobias.com, D-E-B-B-I-E-T like Tom, O-B-I-A-S. And if you have a Facebook fan page, like page, please feel free to post the URL in the chat, and then that way any other folks that are present can also connect with you, select your URL, like your page, and this is a great way to get some exposure for your company and to make some connections. You can also follow the show on Blog Talk Radio show page. I'm sorry, and enter your comments that way. If you know of someone that would want to hear about what we talk about, which is wedding planning, please feel free to share the link, okay? If you have a success to share about your progress, whatever that success is in your wedding planning business, please share that with me or with us here. This is how we can grow and develop. I also want to share with you Tony Nelson, who is part of Nelson Photographers, also has a show on Blog Talk Radio, and I was just listening to the most recent one about wedding flowers. Great show, less than 10 minutes, a great way to get information about wedding photography, but the focus that for the last episode that she did was about wedding flowers. A really great job, Tony. The last show that we did on the 7th, I think, of February, I mentioned rather garbled at the end about a very vintage wedding. And it's, I think I'm still watching it, for Rebecca and Debs. They're based in Brisbane, Australia, and they have a vintage bridal fair that they're setting up that happens March 24th and 25th. So please check them out. It's a very specialized bridal fair, and you know, my mind's gone again and I'm botching the URL. Rebecca, I'm so sorry. I believe it's a very vintage wedding fair. That's the URL. And they update the, they have a blog and they're updating it so you can get the insights about the vendors that are part of their show. And I believe that they're down to maybe 2 vendor spots available. Really, really fantastic. And I really wish that I was in Australia to be a part of that. Okay, so let me just get back to what's going on. I really love communicating with everyone. And today I did not send out an email. Let me tell you what went on. I thought I was going to actually have the story I was going to share with you today was about my computer meltdown. The Saturday before the 10th, my computer just sort of gave out. And I actually have a few computers because I'm a bit of a geeky tech kind of person, but my desktop, which is really the powerhouse for me, gave out, and I had to get someone in. It's a relatively new computer, and I felt like the world was coming to an end, so I had to get someone out here, and I found the guy on Angie's List. For those of you that are not familiar with Angie's List, it's a referral. It's sort of like a community, so everyone talks about the vendors that they've used, whether it's a roofer, carpenter, and in my situation, someone to work on the computer, and this guy came out. Thought the problem was resolved and there was a little bit more tweaking left. So for the whole week leading up until Saturday the 18th, things weren't quite right. But today I was actually sending out an email to Brian Lawrence. And I'll tell you, Brian Lawrence is the founder of the Local Traffic Builder, which is a site that helps wedding pros with their marketing and with their websites. I just finished sending him an email this morning just to confirm, because he's actually going to be our guest on Tuesday, March the 6th. And just to confirm that he would be here, and he replied that, yes, he would be here. So I said, you know, great, because I'm going to mention it on the show tonight. I was just about to send out an email. My cell phone rings. And the cell phone rang, and the call, this is all I could hear. I recognize the number, family member, my cousin. And all I can hear is tears. She's crying on the phone, and I know this cannot be good. This cannot be good. And basically, the words out of her mouth were, she's gone. She's gone. Her mother had passed, my aunt, my mom's youngest sister. And completely, completely threw me off. Those of you that listen to the show know that I just returned recently from London from a family member's funeral. And when I heard... when I got that call, you know, she called and I couldn't say anything. I was frozen. I couldn't say a word. I said, okay. I guess I could say a word, right? I said, okay, are you home? She said, yes. I hung up the phone. I jumped in the car and I went over there, and I've been there for most of the day. It doesn't matter what we plan to do. You just don't know what's happening around the corner. And the news of my aunt's death this morning just threw me off completely. Everything that I had to do just suddenly didn't mean a thing. And that is why there was no email today. I've been over at my cousin's house today, and, you know, you're there and you're talking about the good times, and we're all there around to rally each other. But, you know, I came back and said, let me just get online and do this show. Because I realized that when I communicate, especially in this group, this is our little family here, it's a good thing for me. But I'm sitting here and my mind is all over the place. I worry about my mom. That's her little sister. So, you know, when someone's gone, it's those that are left behind that are dealt, you know, to deal with this. And I'm sitting here and I wasn't going to say anything, but I feel compelled to. So I don't want you, I didn't want to postpone the show yet again, which is what happened the last time I had to travel. But I swear to you, I, you know, you sit down and you think, gosh, how much more? I just sort of just trying to get things together. And I talk about the computer because that was my big issue. And all of a sudden, that's nothing. It's nothing. And it looks like once again, I'm traveling because a lot of my family is not here. And it's not for a pleasant vacation. It's, you know, to bury a loved one. And you just... I know many of you are going through your own situation, and when I sent the email out the last time about what had happened, the feedback I got was amazing. So thank you so much for the feedback and the support. Thank you, Daniel. I see your notes. Thank you so much. But whatever you do in life, whether it's weddings or whatever, take care of you, and things are going to happen, and you deal with that, and you take care of you, you take care of family, and I realize now how important family is. And if that stuff isn't right, it's going to be hard for you to move forward with your business, whatever that is. So today is a sort of a weird show. I'm not quite sure what to say. I'm sort of at a loss. I'm just sort of going through this checklist, and I'm sitting here, and the tears are just streaming down my cheek. But it's good to be here, and I'm going to try to talk about weddings. So any questions that you have, about weddings, any comments about what's going on with you, any thoughts, please share them with us today. It's good for all of us, and just it's help me focus on something else. And I don't think it's going to be a full hour. I really just want to go back and be with my family this evening as we try to figure out what the next move is. But it can be tough sometimes. But enough said about that. But that is why, that's what I'm getting at. That's why the emails didn't go out, and I wasn't quite sure up until about an hour or so ago. I just decided to move forward. So, all right, let's see. And today, I believe, it's Wednesday already in England, Daniel. I know it's Pancake Day. I just remembered that. I was just looking at my calendar, and I see it's Ash Wednesday tomorrow. So, I know in England it's Pancake Day, or if we talk about it here in America, it would be Crepe Day. So, getting back to Brian Lawrence. He's going to be here on Tuesday, March the 6th. I'm not quite sure what the topic of conversation is going to be, but I'm sure it's going to have something to do with marketing and with websites. So if, 2 weeks from today, God willing, and I'm not quite sure, I'm hoping that any arrangements with family will allow me to bring the show. And if we're not able to do that date, I will let you know, hopefully not at the last minute, but until, we've made arrangements, I'm really not sure what's going on. But hopefully it'll be March 6th for that show. So it'll be good. So any questions you have about marketing, about websites, please send them in. If you go on to weddingsforaliving.com, there's a contact tab, and you can select that and put your question in. And there's also the listener talkback line, which is the number you dial. And I'm saying the number you dial. I can't remember it. I'm sorry. And you can leave your voicemail there, your message. I think you have about 2 minutes to say your question, and then we can play that back live on the air. I'm going to see if I can remember it before this show is up. All right. Thank you so much for your comments, everyone. Thank you. You think I'm a real pity party, but I just think, good things have to happen now, right? You just just think things can only get better. I've had quite a few questions from people asking about what to do for a bridal show, what kind of things they can give away at the bridal show as a wedding planner. So I'm not a big fan of the bridal shows because I think it's just so hard to sort of, what we do is so personal. I think you just need more time to explain, to talk to someone. And, what a lot of brides-to-be are looking for at the bridal show, I'm not sure if it's me, a wedding planner. And because it's not always so easy to project what we do visually, I mean, you can decorate your booth and things like that, but if you over-decorate it, then they might think you're a designer, and you may not be, or you might be they might think you're a florist or something. So anyone here that has been a part of a bridal show and had success with that and has any suggestions as to what might work, please provide that. But the thing with bridal shows is, or any event that you're doing to promote your business, you have to decide what's the outcome. What would be a success for me? And if it's to go in there and say, I want to book 5 weddings when I leave the bridal show, that may not be the best course of action, but maybe you want to say, I want to secure 5 appointments with people who are looking for a wedding planner, or 5 appointments with people who are looking for the services that I offer. That's a good strategy. That's a good plan. And if that's your goal, then it makes it a little easier for you to decide what it is you might want to offer. And there are lots of different do's and don'ts. Like, you don't want to set up your bridal booth where you have a table in front of you and you're sort of on one side of the table and so the table sort of cuts you off. You want to have a much more inviting booth. So think about your booth as your mini consultation area. So, this is your office. This is your bridal boutique where folks are coming in to talk to you. And think of it that way. You want to be open. You want to walk up. You want to talk to people. You want to ask them you know, what stage they, where they are in their wedding plans. Are they right at the beginning? Are they coming up to the end? And what I found when you have services to offer is that you want to try to come up with just one solution. So when you're speaking to someone, you want to figure out what in your mind, in the back of your mind, you're thinking, which one of my services can I offer to this person? Or which one of my services will best suit the needs? It's probably a better way of looking at it. So if you're a wedding planner who does design, who does day of planning, who does invitations, think when you're speaking to someone, which one of those services would help fill the need that she has? And then, you know, so you're asking questions, when are you getting married? Oh, we're getting married in less than 3 weeks. We're almost there. Oh, great. So you have all your vendors booked. You've got everyone figured out. Well, yeah, we do. We've got everything set. You know, I'm a DIY bride. I did everything myself. I did my centerpieces and so forth. So in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, day of. She needs help with day of. So that's maybe the service that I'm sort of leaning towards. And you don't want to give away everything that you do right up front. Remember, your goal, hopefully, is to get this person in to meet with you at the office. It's going to be very hard to sell your services to somebody at that bridal show because there are too many bright and shiny objects. There's too much going on. So, you know, you try to focus on one solution that you will have for this person. And maybe you don't have the solution that they need. That's okay. You're not there to service every bride. You want to think about the one thing. I mean, maybe later on there are other things that you can offer to this person, but think of one way that you can help this person and focus on that. You can say that, you know, I think, based on what you're saying, I may have the answer. I think my service might be what you need. There's so much going on right here. Why don't we set up a time to meet, you know, and I can go over some ideas that I have with you. I'm not saying consultation. I'm not doing any high pressure sales tactics, but just so we can talk a little bit and find out. Maybe you can do a Skype call. Maybe you can just do a telephone call initially. But the idea is you want to try to get this person in to meet with you if they're a fit for what your services are. So when you're going to the bridal show, again, try to go in there with what your goal is. And I would suggest probably one of the better goals to have is to meet with this person again for a follow-up meeting. It's just very difficult, I think, to sell your wedding planning services on the spot. So you're thinking about giveaways and what you want to give to this person. Whatever you have, you don't want it to be a free-for-all. You want it to be something that's meaningful to the person you speak to. So if after that conversation you realize that this person may be a good fit for the service that you're offering, you try to set up an appointment. And even if they don't, maybe then whatever item you have, you feel comfortable giving it to them, give that to them. But whatever it is, don't lay it out there just as a grab bag, because there are a lot of people who are just walking around with their empty bags to fill up with loot. Okay? All right, let me see what you guys are saying here. Daniel says, as a planner, I think it's best to host bridal shows and parties as it shows your planning skills well. As it shows your planning skills, we all have the vendors, right? I think that's what you said, right? I think that's what you said. So if you're saying, Daniel, that you should be hosting your own show, I think that's what I read. Let me read it again. As a planner, I think it's best to host bridal shows and parties as it shows your planning skills. It certainly does. And I agree. And Linda is agreeing with Daniel. Oh, he's corrected that. We all have vendors. Yes. Sorry. So Daniel, yes. And as a wedding planner, having wedding vendors should be something that is ongoing for you. A lot of folks I hear want to start their wedding planning business and they're very eager to do that. And they want to go out, get the business cards, and that's fine. But they don't have any wedding vendors. So why would you wait until you have clients to begin searching for wedding vendors? That should be an ongoing thing for you, unless you've got such a long, long list of vendors that you can sort of taper down or slow down your process, but your interviewing process and researching of vendors. But it should be something that's ongoing for you. And we should all have vendors. So once you start start meeting vendors and adding them to your list of favorites and to your list of preferred vendors, then these are the same people you can go back to and say, hey, let's do this bridal show. Let's do an event, which is the same thing I was just mentioning about a very vintage wedding fair. It's a bridal fair, but what Rebecca and Debs have done is that they've sort of zoned in to a special area. And it's for brides who want that sort of vintage, era chic style of wedding. not for everyone. But can you imagine how focused that would be? So if that was the kind of service, that was the style that I was leaning towards in my business, whether I was a photographer, planner, florist, I would want to be a part of that show. And instantly, the person who's organizing that show, to me, is the pro and the genius for coming up with that. So if you are able to, not if you are able, think about it as you meet vendors. You know, seriously consider hosting your own bridal show. It doesn't have to be the gargantuan convention-sized events where, you know, you've got thousands and thousands, hundreds and hundreds of brides showing up. It can be very intimate, to the point that the intimacy almost makes it sound more high-end, because it's just a smaller scale and a lot more, it's on a small scale and a lot more focused. Linda says that she finds competitions are good for when you are doing shows. Great. So she says, I always run a competition for some free consultations or the odd free service. Wonderful. So Linda, how do you do that? Do you sort of you collect everybody's name and number, I would imagine? Because everything that you do as a wedding planner in your marketing, you should be collecting leads as you go along. By leads, I mean getting the names, numbers, or email addresses of the people that could potentially become your clients, because everybody isn't ready to purchase or sign on the dotted line at the same time. None of us are, right? Unless we know, you know, it's rare that you go in and zone in and say, that's what I want, and that's it, I'm not shopping around. But we instinctively, we shop around and we see what's going on. Sometimes it's just not the right time. So by doing it, by setting up a competition, you have to collect information from everybody that enters. And that's a great way to then follow up with folks right after. So very good, Linda. Linda says the competitions work for her. And Daniel says, going on from Debbie's ideas of specialty, if you are vintage wedding planner, host a vintage wedding show. Exactly. Let's see, Linda says, that is the best idea to establish yourself as an expert in your field. Absolutely. Linda says she specializes in green and alternative weddings, and she runs Ireland Alternative Wedding Event, and this has been a great success for her. Wonderful, Linda. So Linda's doing, there she goes. Yes, and Linda, she continues on, I collect leads and follow up after the show. Perfect. So it's almost like, you know, that's the introduction. Think of when you go to a party, a cocktail party. You don't come on, you don't come on to someone instantly, I hope. there's got to be a process of you introducing yourself, getting to know about the person, and that person getting to know you, and then possibly, you know, you sort of move, and then you, if it's a good match from there, you move on, and so forth. So it's not very different when you're meeting with your prospects. And I don't believe in the hard sell. I really don't. And I really believe in the give to get approach, meaning you get a chance to display your knowledge and to show what it is that you know. So that person gets to see, number one, that you know what you're talking about. Because granted, we've all come across folks who are running a business and we realize they don't know, I was going to say something very vulgar, but they don't know what it is that they're talking about. And it becomes evident fairly quickly. So if you approach someone and you say, you know, I plan weddings, I focus on green and alternative weddings, and, you know, let me, you know, go to my website or go to this information, go to whatever the resource is, my Facebook page, and they can see content that you've written and information that you're willing to share, whether it's tips, articles, a video, an audio. You've got to know what it is that you're talking about to do that. And this person's thinking, okay. This person, Daniel or Linda, really is on point. And you listen a little bit, and then maybe a few days later or another week later, you sort of send some more information to them. You know, here's a link to a really great photographer that I think would work well with your wedding. Or, you know what I mean? So you want to sort of give a little bit. You don't have to give away the entire farm, but just enough information that this person begins to trust what it is that you're saying and begins to realize that you may be the person that they need. Because sometimes people don't get that right away. There's a level of distrust that we have when we meet somebody for the first time, right? So until they can prove otherwise, unless you're completely gullible and believe everything that comes out of everyone's mouth initially. So, okay, and Daniel brings up a good point. Thank you. So for those that have just joined, please post your Facebook fan page URL in the chat room there so that other folks can click and find out what it is that you do, learn a little bit more about you, and that you can get some exposure for your business and some likes along the way. It's a really great way to connect with others in this industry. There's no need to for us to be all cloak and dagger. There's enough work that we can all share. And sometimes it's just one tip, one bit of information. Linda shared the idea about, you know, the competition, the contest. Daniel's talking about hosting your own bridal show. So maybe it's something that you were thinking about, you toyed with the idea, and sort of left your mind after a while. So maybe this is sort of the memory jogger that you need. But and speaking of bridal shows, another question that came in last time, and I didn't get around to answering it. Somebody was asking, who was asking about it, if anyone had taken up, I had talked about doing a bridal happy hour. I want to say I did that on the Wedding Business Guide. So the bridal happy hour was just the name that I gave to this event that I thought, I didn't think of it, but it was the name that I gave to the event that I heard about, where you host an event middle of the week, after work hours, so like around 6 p.m. to 8 p.m., and the idea is sort of like a mini showcase where brides-to-be, grooms-to-be who are getting married can come and meet other brides-to-be and grooms-to-be and to sort of talk about their planning. And while they're there, they meet with a few hand-selected vendors, wedding vendors, not a whole lot, maybe 10 tops, and you hold it at a venue that hopefully donates the space. You provide a few appetizers, maybe some beverages, alcoholic, non-alcoholic, however you choose to do it. So it's very low pressure, but it's a great sort of meeting, sort of like a mixer, I guess that's the best term. And when the brides meet with one another, what they instinctively do is they talk about weddings. And it's a great way for them to exchange ideas. They may say, you know, oh, I found this great florist, you should check out this person. Or maybe, you know, this florist really didn't do it for me, but based on what you're telling me, he or she might be good for you, that kind of thing. And then through all of this, you as the facilitator, you as the person that's hosting the event, you come off as the pro, as the expert. And you, what happens is the concept is you sort of have this sort of like cocktail portion where everyone sort of comes in, they have a glass of wine, they have an appetizer, they sort of browse around the little stations of the vendors that are there, and then you have this group session that lasts maybe half hour, 45 minutes, an hour maybe, where each vendor gets about 5 minutes, 10 minutes, depending on how many vendors and how much time you have, to talk a little bit about what it is that they do. And what they do is, well, in the sense that they're not selling their services, but they're presenting some tips and ideas. It's not a hard sell, but what they're doing, so the photographer may talk about, you know, 10 tips to get the best pictures for your wedding. The cake person will talk about, you know, how to pick the best cake person. And what that's doing, it's positioning each of those wedding vendors as an expert in his or her field. But what's happening subconsciously or subliminally, totally botched that word, and I'm not going to say it again. But what they're doing is, the person that's listening is saying, they're teaching me all this information. I don't have a cake person. Maybe I should check this person out. So it's win-win, win for the brides and grooms that are attending, win-win for the vendors because they're getting a chance to, number one, demonstrate their expertise, and second, number two, they've got exposure to a whole bunch of people that most likely need their services. And then for you, you are the wedding planner. So you are the person that sort of introduces each person that speaks. You're sort of leading the show. And then you get a chance to say, you know, these are vendors that I've handpicked. They're great vendors. I recommend them wholeheartedly. And, you know, sort of by the way, as you're planning your wedding, if you need help, you need to, you know, get in contact with me. Please give me a call. I've got packages that range from as little as $400 for one-on-one consultations. Well, you don't even have to say it that way. Just give them the price of your lowest package, $350 or $400 and up, and leave it at that. And then you have your marketing materials that you share. So you instantly become the expert. And the goal is to do these events more than once. So you do that maybe, I don't know if you have enough time to do it once a month is great, at least once a quarter, or maybe every other month. So it's a great way to, again, showcase what you do. The media will likely pick up on it. And if they don't, you can send out a press release saying that you're offering free wedding planning for local brides. And that's really what you're doing. You're providing free wedding planning, or, you know, a catchy title that says, plan your wedding in less than 2 hours. And the way that works is because you've got all the vendors that are available for weddings. So that's what I mean by bridal happy hour. So that's just one way. That's sort of like a twist of a bridal show that you, the wedding planner, can host. So, you know, think about that. That's a really, and a bridal show doesn't have to be a typical bridal show. It can be any way you want it to be. It can be the limousine wedding planning party that I think I've spoken to you about, which is where instead of your brides coming to you or to one space, you put about four or five couples or however many can fit in the limousine, and you go from place to place to place to place. So different vendors. Maybe they stop at the florist, then they stop at the cake place, then they stop at the, I don't know, the DJ, where the DJ is based, and then maybe the last stop is at the limousine company so they can see the other cars and vehicles that are available. And then each person gets, each of your vendors provides something for in the shape, in the form of a gift bag, and they give that as a giveaway. And, you know, maybe, you know, as Linda says, she does the competition at the bridal show. Maybe you can use that as the prize. Maybe the prize is to be one of the lucky couples to be part of the limo wedding planning party. So different ways that you can do this. You know, nothing, most of the groundbreaking things that happen, whether locally or nationally or globally, don't happen by you being doing exactly the same thing that everyone else is doing. You're not reinventing the wheel, but you're just twisting, you know, just taking something that's been done, and you sort of put your own flair, your own twist to that. And you'll be amazed at how exciting that is, and how much attention you can get from just doing things a little differently. Wedding shows, wedding fairs are nothing new. A vintage wedding fair is something very clever and very different, and that sort of piques the curiosity of brides and the media alike. So just do things a little differently. Just take the idea of the wedding plan. You know, you do the bridal show, they can come to you, but hey, maybe I can go to them. I mean, you get the limo company first. That's what you got to do first. And the goal, remember, your vendors should not be charging you. You position it to them as, you know, it's almost like you're their marketing agency. I'm going to put you in front of brides who want the service that you want. Would you like to be a part of that? And you go to limo company. If limo company one doesn't bite, you say, okay, thank you, but I can only get one limo company. So if you're not available, I'm going to go to the next one. You don't want to, you sort of position it that way. And then once you get the limo company on board, then you can start getting everybody else. And all of your marketing, all the, you know, your press releases, your publicity, you'll be mentioning your vendors. So that's great exposure for them. It's so easy to put up a website now. You put up a blog or you put up something on WordPress, bingo, you got a website. So, you know, each day you can do just what Rebecca and Debs have done, where they spotlight a different vendor. How hard would that be? You call the limo company and just speak to them and say, you know, let's do a quick interview. You can do it via Skype. You could do it on the phone. You could just email them a few questions and let them email the responses back. Type that up. Bingo, article. So, you know, you can do that, and maybe each leading up to the event, you spotlight a different vendor. So, you, and then you sort of think about, you put together a package for them, and it's just basically your, you know, the location and, you know, the angle of the show, how to contact you. And it's really great if you can partner up with somebody to share the workload, which is what Rebecca and Debs have done, because, you know, one person doing that can be a little hectic in addition to running your wedding planning business. And the two of you sort of brainstorm ideas. And the hope is that you don't, again, have to spend a whole bunch of money, i.e. hopefully zero. Just get the vendors on board. So if you're doing a stationary show, stationary meaning standing still, not stationary invitations, but you get the venue to donate their space. And most venues, if they have any common sense, will be happy to do that because they want to show off their location. If you're doing the mobile one where people are moving, you get the limo company first and then pick up your vendors from there. And then you decide how many people you want to be involved in this. If it's low-key and you just want five or six vendors, that's fine. Maybe you do more frequent shows but are smaller. Or maybe you do the shows less frequently but they're larger. You know, one of the two. And then set out your calendar. And I've noticed that for myself, that the best way for me to stick to what I'm doing is to sort of just jot down dates and sort of go through your calendar and say, okay, which dates can I do this on? And then when you pick a date, what you have done is a self-imposed deadline. You have now determined, you've committed to this. So once you start announcing it, or you've made a deal, I was going to say make a deal with the devil, that's not what it is, when you made the deal with the main vendor, in this case either the limo or the venue, it's done. The date has been set. Everything else begins to fall in place. And if a vendor says he or she can't do that, then you move on to the next vendor. But, you know, you don't want to have vendors that compete with one another. You want, you know, maybe just one caterer, one floor. It doesn't have to be your typical vendors. Maybe you have a dance instructor. So as your brides and grooms are arriving at the venue for the bridal happy hour, they can do a mini dance session. I mean, you know, when you see one other person doing it, you're like, okay, let me give that a try. Or, you know, you've met the vegan caterer. A lot of people, not a lot, but there are several people out there here vegan, they just think tasteless, boring. But maybe this vegan caterer has awesome food, and it's maybe something they hadn't even thought about. So, you know, think outside the box. That's such a cliche term, you know, an oxymoron. So, you know, make it work, make that work for you, and just sort of start brainstorming. And when you brainstorm, don't limit your thoughts. Write down stuff, even if it sounds halfway crazy or full way crazy as you're writing, and then come back and look over it. Because sometimes something that seems so bizarre is actually quite doable. Has that ever happened to you? Because that happens to me a lot. So just start writing down ideas, and then it may be a couple of days, and it just comes to you. It's like, oh, yeah, I can do this. So don't limit yourself. We're supposed to be creative people in general anyway. Great. Oh, thank you. Thank you, Linda. Thank you, Daniel. Daniel says wedding planning parties seem to work well. Yeah. So when you say wedding planning parties, tell us a little bit more about that, Daniel. I'd love to hear when you say wedding planning parties, what you mean. And, you know, I was thinking the other day, do you know how folks do the parties where they come, the group parties, the home parties, like they sell jewelry at home? Or I think there's the what's the chef one where they sell the different kitchen utensils at home? I'm thinking back to my childhood days. I'm aging myself. My mom used to sell Tupperware, where they would just, you know, you invite the hostess kind of parties. I'm wondering if that could work for wedding planning. Could you do that also, I wonder? Because I guess you sort of could. You just have to get the right mix of people together. But, I mean, it's harder to maybe get a group of people. But that kind of concept, but maybe in just, you know, in a smaller environment, I think that would work really well. So maybe if you're, I don't know, florist has a studio, has a great room area, maybe you could sort of do that on a regular basis. It wouldn't be a big deal. And just, you know, just think, just brainstorm and think about different ways that you can promote yourself, because being like everyone else is just like homemade beef stew. I mean, it'll do it, but I mean, who wants homemade beef stew all the time? You got to sort of kick it up a little bit and just be different and so that you can stand out. Okay, Kim's here. Wonderful. Good to see you, Kim. And so I'm seeing the names here, Daniel, Heather, Kim, Linda, and Virtual Website Solutions. Thank you so much for being here. And I will just let the folks, those of you just arrived, I've had some, I wasn't able to send out an email. I guess not wasn't. I just, my mind just wasn't in a place that I could send emails today. So I'm glad that you're here, but for those of you that are missing the live broadcast and are listening, you know, that are here, I apologize, but hopefully we'll be back on track in a couple of weeks from now. Okay? Let's see. Were there any questions? No questions. Let's see. Oh, so I wanted, you know, I was telling you about my computer meltdown. Please make sure that you have a way, sort of just went a complete, you know, turn there. You know, make sure that you're backing up your information. Don't take for granted that all of the information on your computer will always be there. As force of habit for me, most of my important files go on an external hard drive, a portable hard drive. They don't sit on my computer. And most of the programs that I have, I have either as the CD or any program that has a license, anything like that, always save it. I use Google Contacts because that means I can access it virtually anywhere. Keep all of that information someplace that you can always get to it remotely. So, you know, when I had my computer meltdown last week, I had to reinstall the programs that I had, but it really wasn't a problem. It was more time consuming than anything. But some of the items, some of the software that I have a license key or a serial key and not a CD, but they were in my Google contacts, so I could just find them and do them. So just, you know, as wedding planners, we always have to think ahead and have a plan B, a plan C. So just as we do that for our clients, you want to make sure you're doing that for yourself also. Okay, just always have your information backed up. Your client files, usually when I get a new client, I have a physical file and I have the computer file. I know with a lot of the software out there, you can save that online too, but just maybe call me anal. I just want to make sure that I have it someplace else. Things happen. Do you remember when BlackBerry went down last year? And it was sort of like people couldn't access, was it last year? I think it was last year. Things can happen. So you always want to be able to access your information in more than one way without being completely, you know, a clutterbug where you've got tons and tons of stuff. But come up with a system and just sort of and document. Because sometimes I forget where it was. Sometimes I'll put things away thinking that I can find them, and I've completely forgotten where that place is. So come up with systems, and just as you go through your wedding planning business, document what it is that you do so that if you have to sort of run off quickly or go someplace, somebody else can follow in your steps. I keep saying that, but it's that important, and you don't realize how important that is until I found that out this week when, you know, last week when I realized, oh my gosh, I can't do any recordings on Camtasia. Oh my gosh, I can't access Photoshop because I have Photoshop on my desktop, but I don't have it on the laptops around the house. So just, you know, things like that. You always want to be prepared because when someone's paying you for your services, they don't want to hear about things like that. They may be sympathetic initially, but once they realize that what has happened to you is now affecting them and they have paid you, very different attitude comes across. And you can relate to that. Once you've paid for it, you don't want to hear a sob story, right? You just sort of want to, you need your information. Yeah, Linda says, always back up your stuff. She got caught on the hop. What does that mean? On the hop a couple of years ago. I'm embarrassed to say I don't know what that means, but it looks like, yeah, she got caught out. She said it was a nightmare. Yeah. Kim says, what are your thoughts, experience on SEO, and is it necessary? SEO. So SEO, good question, Kim. SEO stands for search engine optimization, and is it necessary? So basically what that means is with your online presence, your website, doing whatever you can to make sure that when people are searching for the services that you offer, that they find you. Is it necessary? I believe that it is necessary. And there are different SEO things. There are different things that you can do to boost your SEO. And Kim, I don't know if you heard, but Brian Lawrence of Local Traffic Builder, who does marketing and websites for the wedding industry, will actually be with us on March 6th. Hopefully, that you know what's going on with me and my family, the show will go on. So when he comes, that'll be a great thing to post to him. But what I know, Kim, I think it's very important because a lot of us go into a lot of trouble to make sure our website looks the way we want it to look, which is important because in our industry, that's how brides judge what we do. But it's one thing to give someone your domain name, your URL, you know, myweddingbiz.com on your business card or put it on your email so they can find you. But you also have to think about people that do not know that you exist but want what you're selling. So in most of our cases, it's wedding planning services. And there are things that you should be doing with your website to increase the likelihood that someone searching for wedding planning services in your area will find you. And I think it is very important. There are things that you can do, like a lot of us, I do this. My website is based on my company name. That's good, but if your company name does not include the words that someone is searching for, like Wedding Planning Atlanta, it may, you know, that's just a very small thing. If you have Wedding Planning Atlanta somewhere in your domain name or in your business name, that's gonna be helpful to you. But there's so many different things that you can do, Kim, and that's actually one of our wedding business guide webinars that's coming up. Mobile is very important. And what's happening is a lot of people now are using their mobile phone to search. More and more people are doing that as opposed to sitting in front of their laptop or their desktops to do that. They're either using their phones, they're using their tablets, some sort of mobile device. And if you want to make sure that when someone's searching for wedding planning in your area, that your site comes up. And SEO, you want to do that for your regular site, but your site also should be optimized for mobile use. Meaning that when someone goes to your website, they shouldn't have to be scrolling to the left and the right to read the information. It should be in a way that they just have to sort of go scroll up and down. And that's not so much SEO, Kim. That's more about your site being mobile ready. But the reason I bring it up is that Google, which is the main source that people use to find the information that they're looking for, Google is now punishing websites that are not mobile optimized. Meaning if you don't have a mobile version of your website, you're losing points for that. So these are different little things that you can do right now for your current website to increase the chance that someone finds you. And it changes all the time. If there were a set of instructions that Google provided to say, do this, then people will take advantage of it. So it's algorithms, which is a sort of a geeky word that sort of says it's a system, a set of patterns, and that's not the right word, that you know Google uses to find your site. But there are things that you should be doing. And what the first thing you want to do, Kim, is you want to make sure that you know what it is that people are searching for in your area in order to find your services. And Google offers what they call a keyword tool. I think that's the right term, where you can go in and sort of put in wedding planning, and they'll give you a list of terms that people are frequently using to find you. But the key thing right now with SEO, Kim, is local, because most of the people that probably want your service are probably within a radius of your home, your office, excuse me, and it's usually as close as 5 miles. So you want to make sure the people that are 5 mile radius, 10 mile radius from where you are can find you. And SEO is a great way to do that. So having a domain name that reflects the searches that people are looking for, keywords, making sure that you have content on your site that uses those words frequently. So when you're writing an article, instead of just saying planning, you want to say wedding planning and maybe your area in there. So things like that. So when you're listing, if you had a category about all of the great photographers, and let's say you were in Atlanta, Georgia, instead of just saying wedding photographers, you want to say wedding photographers in Atlanta, so that when someone's doing a search, the chance of your site showing up increases. But it's really a lot more detailed than that. It's not as difficult as it sounds, but it does take a little bit of time. And I think once you get a few of the basics down packed, it'll be a lot easier for someone to find you and they didn't know you existed. So hopefully Brian will share some of his insight about that. Let's see, Daniel, what's Daniel saying here? You would invite, say, 150 brides to a venue where you would have wedding bands playing, wine suppliers doing wine tasting, caterers giving counterpays away, florists make the centerpieces, et cetera. So a party atmosphere for suppliers to showcase their work rather than a trestle table. Oh, I see what you mean. Daniel's responding to my question about wedding planning party. So yeah, it's a party atmosphere, but it's an opportunity for vendors to showcase. Very low pressure, but very exciting, because I would want to go to an event like that. I'd want to go. A wedding planning party, yeah. Let's go and see what that's about. So, and it's something I would probably want to go to more than once. So yeah, I love that. Remember, we're creative people. You want to make this as exciting and as interesting as you want it to be. And if you have a niche, I can never go through a show and not say it, but if you have a specialty or a niche, that's a great way to showcase what it is that you do. Daniel says he's apologizing for his typing. It's 1 a.m. Yes, because for Daniel, for those of you who are not familiar with Daniel, Daniel is our resident wedding planner in the UK. He's actually 5 hours ahead of us. And and Linda says, great idea. Yeah, I love that. I think that's fantastic. So, you know, when I say bridal happy hour, that's just a name that I kind of gave that. And I think I told you a caterer of mine came up with that idea. Call it whatever you want. Wedding planning party DC, wedding planning party Ireland, whatever. You make it whatever you want it to be. But you sort of just get everybody excited. People want to go to a party. They don't necessarily want to go to a show. Well, maybe they do, but I'm probably going to want to go to a party before I go to a show. Okay, Daniel. Daniel says he's had two events like that so far with local hotels. It's not a massive money-making thing, but it really helps your reputation. Exactly. So, you know, everything that you do isn't going to always be about making money. Hopefully it doesn't cost you too much money. More than likely it's going to be more about time. And I think that's a really great way to showcase. Because I'm betting you, people are thinking about it maybe, but not doing it. And once you do it, you know, the hardest thing is just getting past the first one. You learn some things, you figure out things that didn't work that you thought would work, and then you do it again. Just keep going. Let's see. Mish Events. Mish, do I say the E when I say your name? Mish Events is asking you to please click the link there to click her URL and like her fan page. Virtual website solutions. Oh, yes, we've got a website expert here. Keyword Spy is also another good tool for keywords. Okay, great. Keyword Spy. All right, great. I never heard of that. I've got to check that out. Linda says the guys, Wii U is very good and has done a few wedding companies. Check out their Facebook. So Linda has posted a link, facebook.com/websalesmarketing. And their website is the same thing, websalesmarketing.com. So very good. And I mean, sometimes it's just a few pointers that you need. But, you know, websites have just taken off. That's like your business card now, right? People will accept the fact that you don't have a business card, but they're probably not going to be so happy to know that you don't have a website. Isn't that, that's what I found anyway. That's usually the first thing people ask, or do you have a Facebook page? Because we've become online, and we're going online. And even when my mother's referring me to go online, I already know. So it's like, we're there. My mom's caught on. So there you go. Touch is saying, I love that idea better than when I was trying to put together a launch party. Great idea. Yeah. So if you're thinking about having a launch party and you're not quite sure how to do it, this is a great way to get both of those things done. You do the launch party, and it's actually a bridal party, and you invite brides and you invite vendors. That's a great way. And you're also positioning yourself as an expert. You know, you write a press release, you get some of the local media there. Fantastic. I love that idea. Linda says, Kim is asking, is the cost of a SEO service expensive? I think there are lots of, not necessarily, Kim, would be my response, not necessarily at all. But it really depends, and you do your homework, and Linda's provided us some leads, and that's really what you want, someone who can speak firsthand about a service that they've used. It's just like, you know, and that's what I love about what we're doing right here. People are sharing information to help one another. So when somebody refers someone to you, I think that's a good move. Just like when you have your wedding business and a vendor refers a bride to you, it's a much easier thing to do. Linda's saying, also, guys, I hear that Google is now indexing YouTube as they own it. Yes. So video is the way forward. It is. You sort of have to get over yourself. And I know that. And I've been working on videos. They're coming. So Google, the number one search engine, YouTube is number two. I believe my facts are still correct. So when you're searching for a certain term, there's a good chance that YouTube is going to pop up. YouTube, Facebook, a lot of the information on Facebook is coming up on the searches. Twitter too, if I'm not mistaken. I know we've got virtual website solutions. I'm leaning on you because your name alone tells me that you may be expert in this field. So yeah, everything is very social and about people making connections. Information is no longer just one way. It's people being able to comment, which is why, you know, when you have a blog or you have your information on a blogging platform, and people are able to comment, you know, you're rewarded for that because the people are contributing, and also if you're putting information and you're doing that on a consistent basis, Google is rewarding you because the information is relevant and it's fresh. You're adding new information. So great information in the room here tonight. Linda says it can be expensive, but it's worth its weight in gold. So it really depends on your ROI, your return on your investment. How, you know, what am I going to get back out of the deal? And that's how you have to look at it. But I mean, and anyone, you know, folks chime in if I'm wrong. I think, you know, some of the, you're going to either pay in money, Kim, or you're going to pay in time. So if you are able to figure it out, and, you know, you can probably figure it out, but the time it may take you to do that, you may be more willing to pay someone to help you with that, or maybe, you know, Google AdWords, the when you see the listings on the search engines on the right-hand side, which are not organic, meaning someone's paid for the privilege to be here. A lot of consumers are now very savvy and know that if they click on those links, that someone has paid to be there. So they may be less likely to do so, but it still works. And that's another way of maybe getting some attention and traffic, people, meaning people coming to your website. Okay, so please post your Facebook fan page URL. We're kind of getting close to the end of the show. So put them in there so everyone can click on them and like before the show is over. Okay. And Daniel says, if people do throw parties, please let me know how it goes. Would love this to become the new vogue in wedding fair ideas. Yes. Yeah, I mean, because, you know, when you see something and it's sort of like, oh, I love that idea, people sort of catch on to that. So when you do something a little different, when you specialize and narrow in, you just naturally command attention because you're standing out and you're not doing what everybody else is doing. Heather says she's planning to have a series of workshops called Be Inspired, targeting DIY brides and inviting some local vendors to speak. Have any of you tried this? If so, how was the turnout? Oh, that's a great idea, Heather. I love that. And again, that's sort of like a twist, isn't it? It's a twist of the concept of the information that you're giving to brides. And that's really when you're doing an intimate bridal show like that or a wedding fair, you're sort of sharing information with a smaller group. And I love that. So, Heather, by hosting those workshops instantly, again, you are now the expert. And, you know, don't be afraid to share some of the, you know, your knowledge and your information, because what will happen is, there will always be brides and folks that will want to do it themselves. We can't avoid that. But you will also find folks that say, oh, wow, no, this is too much trouble. I can't be bothered. This is not working out the way that I thought it is, thought it would. You know how many times that we think we have the best intentions to do something and we just don't have the time. And then you just say, let me just pay someone else to do that. So you may actually be pleasantly surprised that although you're focusing on DIY brides, a percentage of those people will come back to you and ask for your help. Because once you're doing that and positioning and sharing, then they're like, yeah, I trust Heather. She knows what she's talking about. Maybe we should have her just here on the wedding day. And you get to sell. That's a great way to sort of, if you're doing day of planning, hosting workshops like that, is a great way to get some leads and to get brides signing up for your services. Sort of weird, but it actually works. Okay. Okay, so yeah, and I always try to catch up with the chat and I'm a little delayed. So, virtual website says, very true, Debbie. Thank you. Not sure what I said, but I feel oh so smart. Thank you. Kim says she prefers not to pay in time. So, yeah, so Kim, you know, you decide. You decide how far you want to move forward and, you know, how fast you want to move. And, you know, someone, and the thing is, you want results. You want results. And if you're going to a company that someone has recommended, the chances of getting results are much higher. Virtual website solution saying, I've not used his services, but there is a company that specializes in SEO for the wedding industry. His wife is a celebrity wedding planner, Tiffany Cook. The Twitter page is twitter.com SEO Wed Services. Okay, great. And that, I'm finding a lot of a lot of companies out there are focusing on our industry. I think it's really wonderful because they sort of get what it is that we do. So you're sort of naturally drawn to that. And what is that? What is that an example of? That's an example of a company that's specializing, that has a niche. They're doing, you know, once you specialize in the wedding industry, yeah, you're going to get wedding, you know, you're going to get targeted people that you've worked with, and you sort of get certain nuances and the way things work. So specializing works all around. Okay. Daniel's saying, a great idea, Heather. Kim is saying, Daniel's saying, please remember though, it only works if you invite brides with wedding budgets that match your vendors. Excellent point, Daniel. I.e., you could host lower cost weddings for lower budget brides and host a more upmarket. Perfect. Okay. All right, guys. Well, we're wrapping up. I did, you know, this is why I needed you guys to be here. Thank you so much. I came on here with such sad news. There's another death in my family, but I feel so uplifted. I truly, truly do. I thank you. You did for me more tonight than I think I did for you. So thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Love you. So please stay tuned. The next show is on March 6th, Tuesday, March 6th, and hopefully we will have Brian Lawrence, God willing, will be here, and hopefully he can share some information with us about marketing and our website, okay? So thank you so much. Go out there, make lots of money, love and success, and I can't wait to speak to you 2 weeks from now. Take care, guys. Love you so much.
The wedding, this is our show.